First Peter chapter 2. As I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God on the subject of the idea, is your freedom or your liberty just a covering for your sins? We just sang many, many songs about this great land of America that we live in. We made our pledges to the flags and to the scripture and what God has. But as we think about it, even back in the day and time of the Lord Himself, there was opposition to practically anything and everything that men in this nation of ours tried to do. Great persecution. Sharing this morning from the Word here in Peter. Peter is just days away from himself going to be persecuted, put to death. You know, why? For standing for the cause of Jesus, cause of Christ. What He's done for us in our hearts and our lives, and the things that He's doing for us in our lives. When I think of the persecution that scattered the people, you know, as attack after attack came on Jerusalem, more and more people had to scatter out and get out into the hedges out where it was more safe, more secure. They could hide themselves behind a new location or whatever in their hearts and their lives, trying to escape the cruelty of an evil, evil world round about them. I don't know about you, but I have stood and sung what it is to be an American. I'm going to break it down any further. I am proud, proud, proud to be a Mississippian, to be in George County. God bless me, and He blessed you by placing you in a place such as this. When you look at all the sin and wrong that goes on, and there's plenty of it here, don't get me wrong, but in the world as a whole, what could have been in our hearts and our lives, and the thinkings. And I think about our great nation and the way in just the last few days we have had to defend our honor here by helping Israel against the attacks that came upon them. I know that seemingly that God put them at odds, and it's going to take God to bring them back when He makes that return. What are we going to do in our hearts and our lives? I told Brian, I said, you can just put up one verse up there, but I'm going to back up and share some others. So you knew you wasn't going to get away that easy, so this morning. But when you ask yourself the question, is your freedom just a covering for your sins? Your freedom, your liberty. In verse 16, it says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. And many times, people hide behind other things. And one of the things is our religious liberty and our religious freedom to do as we please in our hearts and our lives. People tell me all the time, well, Brother Larry, I have the right, and you do. That's what that verse is saying. As free, you have the freedom you have to make the choices that you're going to make in your heart and your life concerning the things that you're doing in your life. And you're using that for a cloak or a covering of maliciousness there, but as a servant of God. What we would allow to do in our hearts and our lives. Peter was explaining how Christians should live during difficult times, hard times. Church at Jerusalem had been scattered because of the persecutions that came upon it. And I want you to know, and we've experienced that in these last days, that trials will come upon us. But trials oftentimes are used to refine our faith. And when trials come, it's our responsibility to try the very best that we can to remain faithful to God. Not let those trials, those troubles, those afflictions cause you and I to fall away from the will of God for our lives. Listen what he says, and I'm going to back up to verse 11. He said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you." That word beseech there means I urge you, I beg you. "Dearly beloved, I urge you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." The old devil is continuously after us and trying to destroy us in our hearts and our lives. Paul said in his writings time and time again that Satan was there to tempt him. He recognized when Satan would show up what Satan was trying to do. Why was Paul able to understand that? Why did Peter here in our scripture this morning, why did he able to understand that it was Satan, the tempter, the devil, that was trying to destroy that relationship in their hearts and their lives because they stayed in step with the Lord? When trials come, we need to be as close to the Lord as we can possibly be. If we don't, you know what happens? Satan gets a win in his battle against us by tempting us, telling us and sharing with us, and it's our hearts and our lives, the things that he thinks will help you and I to fall away from our walk with God. Listen what he said. He said, "Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Having your conversation honest with your fellow man, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, there's going to be those that's going to come after us, going to do things, you know, and stuff in our lives that we're not going to like, you know. There's going to be those that's going to throw a little punch at us along the way to kind of let us know, you know, what they really think about us. They do it in a joking way, but in reality, they mean it. They mean it. He said, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." He said, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And when he's speaking about this, he's saying, and he's using here, whether it be to the king as supreme, and our day and time, it would be the president, or unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. See, Nebuchadnezzar and others, they use governors And they went out and they were over certain amounts of people. And if anybody got out of line, it was their responsibility to punish them and put them back in line or wipe them out, get rid of them in their hearts and their lives. They are sent for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, the good and the bad. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How do you silence a fool? Do good. He said here, that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Treat them right. Do what's right. Help things that's happening. And that's what he meant when he was telling you and I. But I also know in my many, many years, some people are just hard to help, aren't they? Some people are hard to love. Some people are hard to just deal with in their hearts and their lives. And he said here, by doing well, you can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And I'll stop right there and say again to you, as I said earlier in my announcements and stuff, you made me very proud to be your pastor by your acts of kindness for all the things that we've been through in the last few days in the life of our church. You don't know how many people have come by and told me how much they appreciated what church has done for so many. Their actions are speaking louder than their words, you know. People recognize. Time and time again, they'd say something like, our church didn't do anything like that. Our church. And I'm not just telling you that but that's your ministry. That's our ministry as a church, is to help those that are in need. You've done an excellent job. He said, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. If I can break that down and being a politician, I'll put it this way, okay? You don't just do it because it looks good on your resume. You do it because your heart calls on you to do what you do. Don't let your freedom, don't let your liberty, don't let your right to do as you please be a covering for your sins. Because guess what? One day the Lord's going to uncover that, isn't he? Here's how he told you to live a righteous life, okay? All that persecution, all those trials, all those afflictions, we still got to move on. We still got to live our lives. Even if we've had a bad place in the road that we've had to deal. He said, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. We had 28 men this morning for our men's breakfast. It was a blessing to me just to sit back and watch the fellowship of one another and all, beside all the food that was eaten. And we didn't do bad in that department either. But men that would be willing to get up and come at 7 o'clock in the morning, and some come earlier than that and prepared the food and stuff, to have fellowship one with another. A couple of those guys that were here this morning come from another church, another denomination, and they were in awe of what they saw in our men here and what we were allowed to do for the glory of God this morning. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. That doesn't mean be afraid of him. It means to reverence God. Reverence God. Honor the king. You know, I watched on national news. Many of you may have saw it yourself. But this young lady, I think she's in middle school, that refused to stand. She decided she wasn't going to stand for whatever the class was doing, the national anthem, whatever, you know. And now she's suing the school because of that. And suing the teacher. And because the teacher told her, very simply, either you love America or you need to leave it. Go back to your own country. I say amen, you know. If you don't love it, you ought to leave it. Our forefathers, we saw all these things that took place here this morning, that fought and died so that we could have this freedom that we have, especially our religious freedoms in our hearts and our lives. Yeah, I'd love to see that young lady come to know the Lord. If she'd come to know the Lord, she'd appreciate more the things that she has in her hearts and her lives. But to have that kind of feelings that you're going to, and she wasn't suing her for a few pennies. It's quite a bit of money. I can't even remember what it was. But folks, freedom isn't free. It cost. And our hearts and our lives. I remember a good friend of mine, and all we ever called him was Frog. But on Sunday, Mitch and Gwen was one of those men. We had a special send-off service for four or five of the men. Gary Wellerford was one of them. And leaving, going to Vietnam. And we had a special prayer service and to send them off and stuff. And I remember Frog, he came by and he told my daddy, he said, "We're going to ship out Wednesday." And said, "I promised you I'd get your field took care of before I left." And he said, "I don't know, Mr. Ray, if I'm going to be able to do that or not." And daddy said, "You don't worry about it. Where you going, you got enough to be worried about. This will be all right. Don't worry about it." He said, "Yeah, but I don't want to leave and go off to war and not being kept a promise that I made to you." He was honoring what he believed in his heart and his life. Went along, we got the word a few weeks later. He died in Vietnam, fighting for this great land of ours. And when I see somebody like that young lady, and she gets the attention of the national news, you know, she didn't deserve that, you know. But that's what they look for, something evil, something that can destroy, something that can build. Now you think we go through, what do you think Jesus went through? What do you think he had to deal with? Sometimes he just vanish out of their midst because they were trying to kill him. And he had to get out of a lot of tight squeezes until he told his disciples that the time of my departure is at hand. He knew what was over the next hill. He knew he had to go to that cross and die for our sins. And you and I can have that hope in our hearts and our lives. And the old devil was punching every way he could. He was trying to destroy every way he could. But what did he tell the Father when he knelt in that garden and prayed? "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done." He had accepted that. Sometimes you and I facing with some situations where it's hard to do. But we have to accept God's will. Look at verse 18. He said, servants, be subject to your masters. The word servants there is just the couple word for slaves. They had slaves back in Peter's day too. He said, be subject to your master with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh or the froward. Those that was going to treat them good, those are going to treat them bad in their hearts and their lives. The thing that was going to happen. For this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when he be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. If I flew off the handle every time somebody made a smart remark to me, I wouldn't be worthy of being your pastor today. It's hard sometimes to swallow what some folks say and do. But he's saying here that what glory is it if you spit back at them, if you fight with them, fuss with them, argue with them? What glory is in that? He said, you do well if you can patiently just take it and move on. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Wow. What a challenge is in that verse of Scripture. You hear what it's saying there? That for even hereunto you were you called. Every one of us has a purpose that God has for us in our hearts and our lives. And he said, because Christ also suffered for us. Can you imagine the suffering he went through, the pain of going to that cross and dying, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, he allowed them to mock him, spit on him, nail him to that cross, pierce his side, give him that old vinegar, on and on, put that crown of thorns on his head, everything they did. And he had not done not one single sin that it would be deserving of anything. Neither was guile found in his mouth. What did he tell him when he was on that cross? He prayed and he said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's hard to forgive sometimes when people hurt us the most. When we go through things in our hearts and our lives and things that we do. But as our little devotion said this morning, as we shared in the thoughts there, the end of it came down to the conclusion, God has the last say. God has the last say. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He just looked to the Father for the strength that he needed to go through that. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There's a lot of powerful teachings in that verse of Scripture. First, it said, who? His own self. He didn't call on one of the disciples. He didn't call on an angel. He didn't call. He endured the cross himself, his own body. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. What is righteousness? I've taught you that for a long time. That which is morally proper in the sight of God. Doing the right thing in the right way in his heart and his life. And by whose stripes? By his suffering, by his pain, his trials, his afflictions, the things he went through, ye are healed. Your heart and your life. Then he closed it out this way. He said, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That in the end, when the time comes, we're going to return to the shepherd. When Jesus calls our name, we'll hear. We'll answer. He said, my sheep know my name. One of these days, the Father's going to say, son, go bring my children home. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. All those in those cemeteries are all over this country that died in Christ, their graves will roll open. That dead in Christ will come out. There'll be a reunited of body and soul. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What we're going to be like, Brother Larry, all I can tell you is the Scripture says we'll have a glorified body. You know, it won't be this old short, fat, bald fella you see him standing up here. It'll be a glorified body. It'll be like him. He's perfect. I won't have to worry about any more cancer treatments. I won't have to worry about any more medicines. I won't have to worry about fighting with insurance companies anymore. I won't have to worry about a lot of the, you know. I'll be with him, and he's perfect. He's perfect. He said, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. It ain't the body, it's the soul. Where the soul never dies. It's a wonderful thought to know that one day we'll be in the presence of God that loves us if we love Him. Trust Him as our Lord and Savior. In our hearts and our lives. You know, but a lot of people take this liberty. I'm an American. I'll do, you know, I'm a self-made man. I've done this. I'm this. I'm that. You know, we do have the most freedom of anybody in all the world as Americans and stuff. But don't hide behind that liberty, that freedom, and think you have the right to just live as you please. In the midst of all of that, he demands one thing. What is it? We serve him. We serve him. And it just hurts me to the core of who I am to see me so many people today that have taken God's day and made it their day to go and do as they please. And I hear their plea all to all, Brother Larry. We just had to go get some groceries, you know. They sell them in Loosedale. You don't have to run to wherever. Excuses. Take God's day and make it their day, you know, to do as they please. But when we stand before God, what are we going to tell him? He'll forgive us. He has done that. But what are we going to do? Let's pray. Oh, I would that we were all perfect, Lord, but we're not. But thank God through your shedding the blood at Calvary's cross, we can be forgiven. I pray this morning, Lord, that you look out over our midst. If there's some here today that's hiding behind their religious freedom, their rights to do as they please, their liberty to go and come as they want, help them, Father, to realize that one day we'll appear before you in our hearts and our lives. If we know that we know that we are a child of God, we trusted him and followed him in New Testament baptism, and claim him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings of our lives. Help us to be more faithful, God, to serve you better, so we'll not, in our hearts and our lives, be ashamed when you call our name. Search us this morning. Know us, O God. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing?